it's so meaningful to reflect on what Christ did for us and the power that is still there today, and just to think about it again. I'd just like to reread a few of the verses here that that Kevin read in John chapter 16. This week, or this, not this week here today, but the week before Jesus' crucifixion was a very full week for him. And there was many, many incidents that we read about in the Gospels that happened before that. And Jesus has been telling his disciples on different occasions that he's going to go away and that he'll have to die. Not sure if how much they really understood of what was all actually going to happen. Jesus had told them numerous times they believed who he was, but there were still many things that were not quite clear. So anyway, I'd like to reread verses 19 to 22. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, "Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while you will not see me, and again, a little while you will see me. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come, but as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you." As we read here again, that Jesus knows that they'll be sorrowful when he leaves, but he also knows that the joy that he has given them is something that cannot be taken away. Couldn't be taken away from them, and it cannot be taken away from us. And then go to the last verse, verse 33. Jesus also spoke these words, and he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And we know the peace that Jesus is talking about here. It's not peace that we hear on the news when they're talking about wanting to make peace between different nations, but it's peace with God, something that only he can give, and only we can receive if we believe in him. I'd like to read the next chapter, John chapter 17, but these verses in John 16 are just kind of a little bit of leading into the prayer that Jesus prays in John chapter 17. And most of you are probably familiar with this passage, but in this, it's kind of broken up into three sections, chapter 17, where Jesus prays for himself in the first few verses, and then in the middle section, he prays for his disciples, and then from verse 20 on, he prays for all believers, which includes us here today. And this is what Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I think it's important for us to realize, as I'm going to be reading this, I'm pretty much going to be reading it and maybe making a few comments along the way. But I'd like for us to just think the situation that Jesus was in as he was praying this. This is just before he was going to be arrested. And he knew exactly what was coming. It wasn't a surprise to him. It was an extremely heavy load when you think of the weight of all sin, of all people of all time. It was a tremendous thing that Jesus was going through, but he voluntarily did it and was willing to do it. And this is what he prayed. John 17. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. What beautiful words that Jesus is praying here, that you are eternal life. We cannot define eternal life any other way but Jesus being eternal life, meaning he's going to live, he lives forever, and we also will live eternally when we've placed our trust in him. But not only that, but eternal life is also quality of life that he talks about here as well. Verse 4, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. That's a very, very powerful statement when Jesus says, I have finished the work that you have given me to do. Remember the words that Jesus spoke when he was on the cross, and which we read in John chapter 19, when they had been heaping insults on him and just beating him up, and he was hanging on the cross there, and he said, it is finished. Meaning, he had finished the work that he had voluntarily agreed to do. He had finished everything that needed to be done so that we could be set free, so that our sins could be forgiven. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Jesus is eternal. Verse 6, here he prays for his disciples. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you, for I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they received them, and have known surely that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, let's just go there for a moment. When Jesus says here in verse 8, and have known surely that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. Let's go to Matthew 16:16. It's not that they became believers at this point, but Peter just very clearly states that. This is when they are at Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus is talking to them about that he's going to be building his church on this rock. And then he asks the disciples, who do men say that I am, that I the Son of Man am? And then they go on to say that what the people are saying, and they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Then he said to them, but who do you say? Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter very clearly stated who Jesus was. Okay, back to John 17 and verse 9. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. You know, just thinking how alone the disciples felt shortly after this, Jesus prayed this, there was so much confusion and so many things like that just didn't make sense to them. Like, how could this all be? Jesus knows. There was, like I said before, there's no surprises for him. So he's praying for these men so that they will be comforted. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, except for the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. You know, I've often thought about this statement that Jesus made here, where he says in verse 15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. I mean, the disciples had a lot of situations and incidents, circumstances where I'm sure they were thinking, man, would be better to be taken out of this world. And there's times in our own lives where we've been faced with like very, very difficult circumstances, and we're just thinking, oh man, I would rather be with the Lord now. But Jesus says, no, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we read about where Paul talks about us as believers being ambassadors, and that's what we are. That's what the disciples were. That's why Jesus was praying this, that they should not be taken out of the world, but that they would be kept from the evil one. They had a very important mission to do, just like we do. Verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. How encouraging is that? You know, in our society today, truth to so many people is a relative term. It doesn't necessarily mean the same thing for you as it does for me. But that is not what truth is. Truth is absolute. Truth only has one meaning. And again, just like so many terms that Jesus used, this is something that we cannot define. This is something that God's word defines. Jesus said it. He said, your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. And then, starting at verse 20 here till the end of the chapter, Jesus prays for all believers. So first he prayed for himself, for his disciples. And in this last section, he's praying for us as well. How encouraging is that? It's not, some say the Bible, it's old, it has a lot of good things in it, but yeah, it's not that relevant today. And I'm not saying this because I think you're not thinking this. I know we believe this, but the Bible is extremely relevant for us today, as it was for them. God's word never, ever changes. It is truth. So starting at verse 20, Jesus says, I do not pray for these alone, meaning the disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. And they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And that is our responsibility, to love each other, to live our lives so that other people are drawn to Christ. Verse 22, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I and them, and you and me, and that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love that with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. One of my most favorite chapters in all of Scripture. When we think that Jesus prayed these things just before he knew he was going to the cross, you know, just the passion with which he was praying. And as I mentioned before, just before he was going to give his life voluntarily for the sins of all people of all time, right from the first people he created to the last person that will be born. I'd like for you to just turn your Bible over to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, I would like to read verses 21 to 26. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. We have been declared righteous by what Christ has done for us. It's something that we could never, ever do ourselves. Never. All right. At this time, I will just open it up for any of the men to come and share a passage or pray. So.
Just wanted to share Ephesians chapter 1. If you turn over there, Ephesians chapter 1. I was thinking about communion and things that we've been given because of it. And in verse 3 it says, "Praise be to God, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for the adoption of our sonship to sonship through Christ Jesus, in accordance with his pleasure and will, and to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the truth, the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. I was just thinking about how we have sonship and we are his children and we're given, and he has lavished his grace on us and he has given us forgiveness above all things, and just how great it is to be. It talks about how that that he bring together heaven and earth, and how great it is to have that peace. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness, and thank you, Lord, for your Son and how you've given your Son so that we might have peace and redemption and forgiveness. And thank you, Lord, for our peace with you and that we can rely on that. And we know that you are our Father. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
If you want to turn to Psalm 103. This morning, Courtney, Henry, and I went to Salem to share some music with them, and Henry shared some thoughts, and he shared out of Psalm 103, and I was just thinking just of, like, going hiking, and you kind of get to a certain point where the season is too short for the plants to grow, and just how, you know, the plants that grow there are there for 2-3 months, and then it starts to snow again, and they can't grow. And so I'll read from verse 10 here. It says, "He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts." And I was thinking a little bit, I was like, I know that there's a passage in the New Testament that has, like, about flowers and the word of the Lord's, like, remaining forever, and I was like, where is that? So I searched it up and I found it, and then I went back to the Old Testament, which I was kind of wondering if it was coming out of here, but I forgot there's another one in Isaiah chapter 40. So if you want to turn there, Isaiah chapter 40, starting in verse 6. "A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever." And I kind of wonder if Isaiah had read what David had written there. You know, it's only, if I remember correctly, like a couple hundred years later that Isaiah was around. And, you know, even up until that point, God's word had been preserved. And then in 1 Peter, if you want to turn there, 1 Peter chapter 1. start in verse 17. It says, "Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here, in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from our forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, we believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart." Just kind of thinking back to last night, I was at the 10th Avenue North concert in Cavalier. And one of the things that the lead singer was saying was that, you know, sometimes it's easy to love God, but it's hard to love those around you. And he had us put like our arms around each other. It doesn't matter if you knew them or not, but we were kind of in circles and with our arms around each other. And, you know, just encourage their encouragement to love each other. And, you know, it says, they will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And so even though it's hard to do, it's something that we've been commanded to do. But continuing on here, it says, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever." And just thinking about it, like 1 Peter was written several hundred years after David had first written about it. And just how, you know, we have the Bible today, you know, thousands of years later. And it's just cool to see, you know, we'll come and go, but God's word is true and it stands forever. And it's only through what Jesus did on the cross that we have hope and that there's meaning in the world. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for preserving your word throughout all generations. And thank you for your love towards us and how you don't need us, but you want to use us to reach others, to love each other, to show your love. And I just thank you for this morning and just that we can fellowship and commune together. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Read Psalm 92. Sometimes when we're playing up here, when we're worshiping God together and singing all these songs, I sometimes think more about the lyrics and I forget what I'm playing. I have to get myself back on track, and then I just, it reminded me of Psalm 92, which I read the other day, just verses 1 to 8. It says, "It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the 10-string lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord. How profound your thoughts. Senseless people do not know, fools do not understand, that though the wicked spring up like grass and all the evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are forever exalted." So now when I'm playing and I mess up or something, I think, it doesn't matter. We're all here to praise God together anyway. So, let's just pray. Lord, I thank you for the ultimate sacrifice that you made for us. Thank you that we can come together and we can praise you together and just sing songs and worship together. Lord, I thank you for, just thank you for your sacrifice for us. Let's pray this all in your name. Amen.
Serving to come up, please.
Thank you, Lord, so much for how you didn't avoid the cross, but you took the penalty willingly and in our spot, and you suffered for us and died. There's no way we can repay you, and we just thank you so much for that, and just ask that you would help us as we partake of the bread to remember what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.
To you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Thank you, Lord, for the blood that you shed, and thank you, Lord, for dying for us. And I just please pray, Lord, that we wouldn't take it lightly, but that we would just think on these things and think of how much you've given to us and how much you love us. And we appreciate it, and thank you again, Lord. Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Just read a passage. All right, we're going to close a little different today than what we usually do. We'll sing a song together yet. But I'd just like to read a few verses out of 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 28 and then going to chapter 3, verse 3. "And now, little children, abide in him. When he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in himself purifies himself just as he is pure." Just wanted to encourage you all with that. Okay, worship team.
Just trying to get some internet. I'll move my mic over.
Heavenly Father, we come to you at the close of our service here this morning, and we just want to thank you for who you are. We want to thank you for giving us your word, for making it so clear what you've all done for us and how you have given us eternal life by simply believing in you. Lord, I pray that you'll give each one of us strength and courage and wisdom as we walk with you every day. And I pray that through our lives, others will be attracted to you. Please go with us from here now, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.